Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
What's up, Rita?
Hello, how are you guys?
Not bad.
Yeah, descending into madness, I am.
Yeah, a little bit. Just kind of sick of my own food, which is, and I'm an outstanding cook, so that says something.
Oh, you have a good recipe.
Why are you laughing, Caitlin? You don't know anything about what I do at home.
Rita, one thing that I would like to share with you and the listeners is I reignited my love for Wadi spaghetti in a can. Had not eaten any for ages.
Whoa,
and just
man,
really
nice.
Started getting into the back of the pantry there.
Real sad.
And had some good spaghetti on toast.
Baked beans beats spaghetti every single time. Like, I can't think of an application where I would go spaghetti over baked beans.
What if you've only got spaghetti?
Eat my foot.
And you'll bloody love it.
Yeah.
Okay, Rita.
No, this is important. This is important. What's better, spaghetti or baked beans? Shit. Rita, you're going to have to break this tie.
Neither?
You're more of a creamed
corn. Sorry, Rita, we're just
person?
Losing you.
No. I don't. I'm not a big fan of either of those things.
So baked beans. Baked beans it is, I guess, what you're saying.
I don't know. My kids eat them.
You more of a 2-minute noodles person?
Do your
person?
Kids ever have an argument that you have to settle, or do you just kind of just sit there sort of?
No. I just didn't really eat a lot of canned stuff, really. I don't know. I grew up without eating that stuff at all, so as an adult, I've kind of just gone, oh.
But there's plenty of fences to sit on around, wasn't there, where you grew up?
Hey, what's going on in the sustainability realm, Zara?
Well, there's so much going on, but they're all pretty become like heavy topics at the moment. So I thought I'd cover something a little bit lighter, which is something we can all fix. We're a little busier than we were when we were, commuting and whatnot. And this week is the Great Kerridoo Count. So I thought that I would do a quick shout out for our Kerridoo and see if we can rustle up a few more people to do some counting. Some observations.
What happens if we hear them? Do we still count them if we can't see them, but we manage to catch some of their beautiful songs?
Yeah, there's a the form that you fill in. It's actually really simple. You don't even need to log in, which is really nice. And there's actually two different ways that you can do this. You can either do it as a bird count, more timed thing, so either 5 to 30 minutes, and you actually set aside that time and count what you can see, or you can do an impromptu sighting, or I guess in your case, if you've heard it, you can go online, and there's a whole bunch of questions on there, so you'd be able to capture that you heard it rather than saw it, and what it was that you heard.
Does he have to write down the notation of what he heard in sort of song form, or how?
Yeah, totally. I'd love to see it. the Kerridoo Count's been going for 7 years, and this actually the 8th and final year, and I don't know why it's final. I was
There's
trying
enough.
To hunt that out.
There must be enough around. Maybe we're getting onto the Kiwi count now.
Yeah, I don't know. They're definitely much easier to hear than see, the old Kiwi, but I'm not entirely sure. I might try and hunt to find out, but there has been, in the last 50 or 100 years, that there has been a significant decline. Like, I've seen some awesome pictures where there's like flocks, I guess, of them, of like 100 or 200 of these birds. Like, it's amazing. And then, I live in an area where there's quite a few of them, and I might see 3 at the same time, maybe at a maximum.
They're a beautiful bird. I'm just looking at one in full flight right now. And they've got
fantastic.
It's almost like they're sort of sunburnt, like they've got a t-shirt on down to their neck there. They've got a little bit of a neckline there. Nice white belly. And then a kind of a nice Christmas neck going to a nice little red beak there, and wings just like a bird should as well.
Yeah, they're wonderful, wonderfully beautiful creatures. And, although they are, similar in family, they're part of the pigeon family, they are quite different and much more gorgeous than your average pigeon. So definitely worth. The other thing that's really important about them is that they're actually keystone species for New Zealand, which means that they're quite important to the ecosystem.
Right.
So they spread seeds that follow and disperse important seeds. And these seeds can't necessarily always be just spread by other birds. Like, they have to actually go through their guts and be pooped out to be viable seeds. So Some of those seeds are tawa, tarere, piriri, and matai trees. So there's some big kind of species of important trees to our native ecosystem. So, and it's a kereru's job to disperse of those seeds, and that improves genetic diversity of those trees as well, because kereru can fly up to 70 k's, so they're actually able to take those seeds from one forest to another, so that there's genetic diversity spread around, which is really awesome.
Mm.
They also are up to, they can live over 20 years, which is pretty awesome.
So, wait a minute. Sorry, it's great hearing all the facts about the kereru, but how does this whole thing work? Like, if I see a kereru and I write it down, and then John's at his house and he sees a kereru, writes it down, oh, it's the same kereru.
Yeah, so...
are we supposed to catch them and tag them as well? Are we catching them and tagging them?
No, we're not catching them and tagging them. And that's, like, it's a citizen science project, and there's always, like, some... you know, flaws of citizen science projects when it comes to
bung old citizens
precise data. Yeah. But the point of it is to, well, one, encourage people to be interested in science and a collection of data points. And two, because the idea is that if you have so many people looking, that can kind of smooth out some of those irregularities. So, sure, John, you guys might have seen the same bird, but, you know, on a map, you know, if you've got you know, people all over the country doing it, what we're seeing then over time is a trend of growth in the city or not, or, you know, like starting those kind of macro data trends. That's kind of the idea behind it. We have seen that, like, over the last 7 years, not the data I saw. So in 2019, there were almost 7,000 observations and 14,000 sightings. So, you know, that means, you know, most people saw two, roughly, very on average. And then we've seen a similar thing in 10,000 observations, which saw just over 21,000 kereru. So what we're saying is, you know, slightly more kereru per observation, if that makes sense. So it's those sort of macro trends that they'll be looking for with citizens, rather than, you know, there's one kereru living in the central city versus two.
Okay.
So just get out with your binoculars and or telescope.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with recording it. You've seen none as well. That's quite important data. If we're over time seeing increasing amounts of people saying that they saw none in a viewing session, then that's, you know, an important data point for researchers. So there's two ways you can do it. You can either sit down, grab yourself a beer, and decide anywhere between 5 and 30 minutes. Or if you're just out and about and you see one, you can just go and record that as well. And I'll be asking you things like, you know, what was the bird doing? So was it flying? Was it... don't go too philosophical about it. You don't know what a kereru was thinking.
Excuse me, I've watched a lot of documentaries of animals, and I'm definitely supposed to say what the lion's thinking and feeling.
The kereru was debating the purpose of life, sitting on a tree perch. What is he doing? Flying or sitting or feeding? What kind of tree was he on? What was he doing? Like, is it urban? Was it forest? Was it school? A park? All those sorts of things. So try and record those sorts of things as well. Have you seen them in this area before? So a few things like that they'll ask in that form, but it literally would take a minute to fill out that form. So it's not a big mission. Unless maybe you did see a lot of them, then you probably, you know, and they're all doing different things, then perhaps it might take a bit longer. A really great kind of positive impact you can make this week really easily just by taking some time out and looking for a kereru.
Nice one, Rita. All right, well, you enjoy
kereru spotting out there in the Waitax, and we'll catch you.
Yes, you know what? While I've been on the phone, I have seen two.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Or have you just seen the same one?
No, there's definitely two. They're hunting around in my piriri tree out the front, and there's been a couple of tuis come in and swoop at them. They have quite some interesting little fights, the two species.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Rita. Always a pleasure. We'll catch you next week. Cheers to Scarecrow.
Sounds good. See you guys. See ya. Bye.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.